Members of the country's largest teachers union gather in Florida this week for the annual meeting and representative assembly of the National Education Association, NEA. As always, there's much to talk about. It's not like education and how we assess and pay teachers are ever just side issues. The Oregon Education Association president is among the union members gathering in Florida. Hannah Vandering is the OEA president. She set aside some time for us to visit before things get up to full speed in Orlando. Hannah, welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange.
Well, thank you, Jeff. It's great to be with you.
Tell us a bit about yourself and how long you've been teaching and if you're still in the classroom at all.
Well, I am an elementary physical education teacher from Beaverton, the Beaverton School District, and taught at Ridgewood Elementary for 17 years and had an opportunity to work with that community. And now I'm on leave as the president of the Oregon Education Association and truly appreciate the opportunity to represent 42,000 of the most amazing individuals who work every day to make a difference in the lives of our students.
So 42,000, I was going to ask you what the membership is of the OEA. That's it sounds like.
Yes, we're right around 42,000 and hopefully growing. We need to decrease our class size and make sure our students have access to quality learning conditions. But 42,000 working hard every day.
So let's talk about the representative assembly and the annual meeting and what goes on at these.
Well, we come together once a year for our representative assembly. We'll have about 9,000 educators who have been elected by their colleagues to represent them and their voice to make sure that the National Education Association moves forward in a proactive way to improve our public schools and make sure that every student, no matter what their zip code, has access to a quality public education.
Well, it's not like there's ever a dull moment in education in this country. So what is the hottest topic at the Representative Assembly this year?
There are several things that are really important to our members. And the theme for this year is Unite, Inspire, and Lead. And I think that one of the things that educators feel very strongly about at this moment in time is that we need to make sure that we're leading the professions, that we're out there having our voice heard. Along with students and parents, educators have been pushed to the side for far too long about what it actually takes to provide a quality education to students. The passage of No Child Left Behind was a huge drawback on us being able to provide students what they need so they could succeed. We've spent so much time over the last decade teaching to a test and worrying about test results instead of the learning that's most important for our students. So we'll be talking a lot about opportunity and equity, making sure that it doesn't matter what zip code you live in, that you have access to the programs and services that most meet your needs. The reauthorization of ESEA is an extremely important topic. The Senate now has a bill. It will be going to the floor on July 7th. So the Elementary and Secondary Education Act was one that lifted up all students and really talked about providing quality public education. And when it was reauthorized as No Child Left Behind, it got into what people wanted to say, it's all about accountability. And no one in education is afraid of accountability, but what they are concerned about is that what we're calling accountability by using a high-stakes standardized test really doesn't inspire learning and help educators do their very best for students. And then the other issue that goes along with that is really assessments. And we have a lot of things going on across the nation looking at how we use assessments. And in Oregon, we believe we're leading the way. So we'll have a conversation about that hopefully later in our time.
So Hannah Vandering's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. I want to remind our listeners, she is the president of the Oregon Education Association in Orlando, Florida, for the annual representative assembly of the NEA, the National Education Association. You can join us with questions, comments, observations about public schools and teachers, and that's where Hannah's strong suit is. 800-838-3760 around the region, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So you're saying that teachers are okay with the idea of assessments. That's necessary. But where do things go wrong, in the opinion of NEA and OEA, with the standardized tests that are out there now?
Well, what we've done is we've attached high stakes to assessments, and we've put in place this yearly assessment that we believe really shows through accountability measures, and it doesn't. It does not tell us as educators where our students are in relations to the standards that we're held accountable for and we should be held accountable for. What it does is it measures learning in buckets of standards. And in Oregon, we've adopted the Smarter Balanced Assessment. And so we administered that across the state this year, and last year we piloted that assessment. And the use of the information that we get back is not does not really provide students information about where they are and what they need to do to grow. So what we're talking about across the nation as educators, and specifically in Oregon, a better path forward, using assessments that actually give immediate feedback to the student who should be the primary user of assessments, gives feedback to the educator and to the parents so that we can provide for students those next steps to in their growth in whatever standard we're working on. And that's where we've really gone on the wrong road in assessments, is pretending that a one-time test that we don't get the results back for is the answer. The answer is quality, formative, ongoing assessments that really give information to those that need it.
But if one of the goals here nationally is to make sure that a child in Oregon is as well educated and knows the same things that, for example, a child in Oklahoma knows, how else would you go about doing that other than by a national test?
Well, you can absolutely use a standardized test, but we put the stakes on the assessment. And it should be, at the end of the year, knowing where your students are. And that's what a summative test is supposed to be used for. But we're using it to rate our schools and to rate our educators. And it really does not provide the information in that way. And so what we're talking about is ensuring that we do have disaggregatable data that shows where our students are on the standards that we're held accountable for. So when we adopted the Common Core State Standards, we should be, as educators, able to provide the education and the instruction that's necessary to make sure our students meet those standards. But instead, all of the emphasis has been put on the Smarter Balanced Assessment. And that's wrong. That's where we need to put the focus back on formative. And then at the end of the day, when we take the Smarter Balanced Assessment, it is what it is. And it will show us whether we've done a good job of providing instruction. That's what we would like to see happen, but the amount of money and time that we're forced as educators to put into a one-time test really does take away from learning time. Right now, educators are spending a third of their time on the standardized assessment. That shouldn't be the case. They should be spending their time using instruction that provides students information of where they are, what they need to do next. And then at the end of the year, when we take the assessment, we'll be able to know where we are, but we shouldn't be putting our sole focus on that.
Hannah Vandering again, the president of the Oregon Education Association, the OEA, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. You may join the discussion as we talk about schools and issues. 800-838-3760 by phone around the region, by email jx@jeffnet.org. I understand people do get to some head scratching when you start talking about Common Core standards and the Smarter Balanced tests. Can you educate us a bit on the difference between those?
Yes. So the Common Core State Standards are a set of standards that we as educators are held accountable for to make sure that our students meet those specific standards. So you might have in math, you would have a standard on multiplication. And so as an educator, you are responsible to ensure that your students are able to meet that benchmark or that standard. Those are the things that we are most important to us as educators, and it's what we've done throughout our careers, is making sure that we're providing that instruction. The Smarter Balanced Assessment is a one-time, at the end of the year, summative assessment supposedly linked to all of those standards. The Smarter Balanced is a new assessment, and it takes time to make sure that you have an assessment that actually measures the standards appropriately. And so we're going to have some bumps in the road as we look at the assessment, and we are having some major bumps. But that right now it's measuring buckets of standards. So as an educator, you can't look at that multiplication standard when you get the results from the Smarter Balance and know whether your students are actually meeting the standard that you're supposed to be teaching. So it gets in the way of providing the quality instruction that our students need, and it also doesn't provide the student or the educator or the parent, for that matter, information that helps them know what they need to do in order to meet that standard.
I saw your opinion piece published in yesterday's Oregonian, hailing Oregon's governor for signing a new law that makes it easier for parents to opt out of the Smarter Balance test. What will be the effect, do you think, of parents opting out, and do you think they all should?
Opt out is not the answer, but it's what we need to do to ensure that parents are making the right decision for their child. Currently, the way we're using high-stakes assessments is wrong. And we believe that parents are a big part of public education, and we need to make sure that they have the information and that they're given the right to make the choice that best meets the need of their child. And so as we look at building our system of assessment, we hope that when we're done, that no parent will need to opt their child out because we'll be using assessments appropriately. But we need to earn the trust of parents and students. Right now, if you go into our schools during a testing week, you'll notice a few things. One is our computer labs are shut down for learning because they're just focused on providing the instruments in order to administer the test. That's wrong. There should be learning happening every day with the technology that we have in our schools. Second thing you'll see is you'll see some students who aren't at school because they are afraid to take the test. And it's, again, the high stakes that we've added to the assessments. And it really is not developmentally appropriate to put so much pressure on students. And this isn't the educators who are trying to tell the students that you have to pass. This is the way that it's talked about in some schools and the way that we've decided that that's a way for students to demonstrate their essential skills and whether they're going to graduate or not. So we believe very strongly that the governor made the right choice for students, the right choice for parents, and the right choice for public education. And we also know, as an organization, our 42,000 members are going to be doing everything we can to build the system of assessment that will truly provide a quality education for every student in the state of Oregon, and that parents will be engaged and involved and respect we respect their rights, and they will also work with us as educators to help their child meet those standards and be successful.
Hannah Vandering, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, president of the Oregon Education Association. How many states, then, have at least talked about tying teacher evaluations to the results of their students on these tests?
You know, unfortunately, Secretary Duncan, the Department of Education, the Federal Department of Education, has decided that that's part of what they believe is important as far as accountability. There's no research anywhere that shows that tying test scores to teacher evaluation is an effective method of evaluation. It's not. We've spent a lot of time in Oregon, and as an organization, OEA helped lead the way in creating quality evaluation tools. And we believe strongly that every educator, no matter what position they hold in one of our schools, needs to have the skills to provide each and every student access to the education that they need and deserve. But the Secretary of Education has tied teacher evaluations to these high-stakes standardized tests. It's wrong. It needs to be fixed. And many states are pushing back and are pulling away from the Smarter Balanced or the PARC test, and they're doing this because they really don't believe that it's best for students. And as we're doing our work, we're saying that we don't believe the Smarter Balanced is the answer right now, but we're building a path forward so that we can actually ensure that every student in Oregon has access to the assessment system that will meet their needs.
Okay,
so it is part...
I was going to say, so tests aside, I mean, you get to a point, though, where people want to be able to have a reliable way to figure out who the good teachers are and reward them, and figure out who the not-so-good teachers are and get rid of them. How do we do that?
We have created evaluation tools across the state. Senate Bill 909 created evaluation tools. And as I said, OEA helped lead the way to ensure that those tools are in every district across the state. We worked with the Department of Education. We're working with our chief education officer, and the implementation of that is extremely important. You don't need to use a standardized test to know whether a teacher is doing their job. That standardized test does not tell you whether the students that that teacher is working with are seeing growth. In our state, we're one of the hungriest states in the nation. The poverty level is out of control. It is important that every student, no matter where they are in the learning continuum, has access to an educator that's going to help them grow as on that continuum as far as they can. That means that as an evaluator, as an administrator who's charged with evaluating that educator, that you're in that classroom, that you're in that whatever teaching area they are, and you're providing them feedback about their instruction, about how they are interacting with students. All of the components which are in the evaluation tools are being met, but it's not about taking a high-stakes standardized test and saying, these students scored really well, so this is a great teacher. These students didn't score well, so this is a bad teacher. That doesn't work, because if that were the case, then the students who are at Ridgewood Elementary who had access to after-school activities, who had tutoring, all of those things that help a student. When I worked with those students...
Hannah, excuse me just a moment. Do you have 5 more minutes? Because otherwise we have to go.
Yes.
You do. Okay, so go ahead then.
So we want to make sure that the students who maybe don't have access to tutoring and after-school activities, who aren't being fed breakfast in the morning, who have learning disabilities, who need extra attention, that those students and those educators are provided the supports that they need, and that we're honoring the growth that we see in the students that those educators are working with. There's no one in our unit, we don't have time to have an educator who is not doing the very best they can, and that's why we really focused on the evaluation tools, and we are supporting the implementation of those tools and everything that we need to do to ensure that there's a quality, caring, dedicated educator with every student in our public schools.
Hannah Vandering is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, president of the Oregon Education Association in Florida for the annual Representative Assembly and annual meeting of the National Education Association. Got a few minutes left. You can join us at 800-838-3760 or by email jx@jeffnet.org. You did mention school funding briefly, and we need to go there because in 2 days, Oregon's new budget cycle begins, another 2-year budget. Do we have a final number yet on what the delivery for schools is going to be for those 2 years?
I haven't seen the final number, but we did see with the revenue forecast we were going to get closer to the 7.5, which would be a baseline no cuts budget for public education. We're seeing possibly some additional funds for community college, which has been extremely underfunded. We are like 47th in the nation in funding for higher education. So right now we're looking at hopefully very few cuts in our programs, but what we're not seeing is adding the programs that have been cut over the last 2 decades as we've disinvested in public education. PE, music, the arts, career and technical opportunities, librarians cut across the state, counselors are no longer in existence in some districts. Those are the things that really help our students be successful. And when people talk to me and say, well, Hannah, how can you be proud that we have one of the lowest graduation rates in the nation? Say, we're not proud of our graduation rate, but we're also not proud that we have the second highest class sizes in the nation. We have one of the shortest school years in the nation. We have to do better, and in order to do better, the Oregon Education Association will be working in coalition with those who care about public education and other vital services to create a better Oregon. We'll be putting forward a ballot measure in 2016 that will allow Oregonians to make the decision about whether they want to move forward and ask corporations in Oregon who are paying less in corporate taxes in Oregon than any other state in the nation, those companies that come into our state and are doing business and making over $25 million in sales in Oregon, they need to pay their fair share. It's time for us to do the right thing for our students, our retired Oregonians, and those in need. So we're going to give Oregonians the opportunity, and we strongly believe that it's time to really provide the quality education in Oregon and other services that will put us back in the lead where we should be.
Given that the Oregonian had a recent series of articles where it found Oregon about 39th in school spending across the country and about 38th in school quality out of 50 states, that's not a great place to be. And you're talking about potentially increasing or at least asking voters to increase the corporate income tax. Would that bring in enough to bring Oregon farther up that scale very much?
It would bring us up, and it would allow us to meet the benchmarks. In Oregon, we have the Quality Education Commission, which does a report that is provided to the legislature. And that report provides a number that we need to invest in public education. And a lot of people want to say, oh, it's just a big number, and they accuse OEA of using that number. It's not about the number. It's about the learning conditions that if we implemented the program and the programs and the services that are embedded in the quality education report, our students, 90% of them would be able to meet benchmarks. We're talking about the things that matter for students that we mentioned, class size, making sure that we have counselors, and all of those things that matter for students.
Always a lot to talk about when we talk about education, for sure. Hannah Vandering is the president of the Oregon Education Association in Florida for the annual meeting and representative assembly of the NEA. Hannah, thanks for joining us once again on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeff, and have a great rest of your day.
You too.